What time? What this? What that?
Here we go. Here we go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out to Third and Lindsay tonight. Please make welcome Ian McLagan.
I thought this is silly. I'm going to be ridiculous. Thank you for coming out. Lovely to see you all. Not that I can see any of you, I'm half black. Actually, there's a story there.
There you go.
I went to the dentist, I mean to the optician, because I lost my prescription shades.
I went to...
Hello, I'm off mic. I don't hear you, Mike. I went to the optician just a few days ago, because I lost my shades, and I got my eyes tested. I've been wearing glasses for 25 years. Got my eyes tested. There's nothing wrong with them anymore. It's a fucking miracle. I swear. I don't wear glasses. I keep reaching for them, you know. I need them.
So there.
Give you faith, wouldn't it?
It's the Guinness.
I think it must be. Although you won't get one here. I love these Nords, don't you? Oh. Maybe it's down here. What's like happened there? A halo in it. It's broken. There it is. I've been waiting a long time to play here, you know. I've been sat in that little room. I was locked in. I couldn't get out. Lemon and water is all right, but you don't want pits. I got a bunch of songs to play for you. I have a list. And that's a start. Thanks for coming out. try and get it through a song without fucking it up. There's no guarantees and you can't get your money back, I'm sorry. And there's no Guinness here. I think we've made the point right there. It's time. I did a St. Patrick's Day gig in Austin at Hole in the Wall, a little bar. Just about got the B3 up on the stage, you know, sticking out over the side. And I had three brothers from Ireland, from Dublin, come to visit. And it was St. Patrick's Day. They ran out of Guinness. Jesus Christ. This is a love song. I think they're all love songs, actually. I think most music is about love. Except for heavy metal. What the fuck? So, last time I was here, I was told I mustn't swear because it was going out on the radio. So it's all coming out tonight, I'm sorry. I'll get over it.
Bring it on.
All right.
Fucking
bastard. Yeah. This is called Lover Man. These songs are, most of them after my new record, Never Say Never, unless I announce differently. Oh, I forget where they're from. Straight to rehearsal, and then I kind of fall asleep, jet lag, and then I'd go back to the hotel. They'd all go to their houses, and I'd look for an Irish pub, basically, or somewhere nice to eat. And I found an Irish pub one night, and it was—I mean, there were no Irish people in there or English. It was in Kensington, and Kensington—I don't know if there's a part of Nashville that's very much tourist, probably not. But there's no English anywhere near there, and they were playing the Pogues really, really loud. Which, I mean, it's fine, but you know, if you want to have a quiet pint and do a crossword or get into a conversation, which didn't happen, and so I wrote the song. And by way of explaining, yes, because I was so frustrated and annoyed at being in my original hometown, and just it was so unfriendly and not very London, not very English. And I was homesick for Austin, because I've been living there 15 years now. And LA wasn't my home. I didn't feel home there, really. So, just a tearful cry for help. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've been home. It's been a long time, been gone so long. Ain't nobody knows me here no more. Serious here. This is a song I wrote for a friend of mine after his wife died. And it was too tender to play for him. He is a dear friend. I play for him now. I played for him last year for the first time. He's since married, very happy man. But I saw the shit he was going through, and I just felt for him, and I couldn't touch it. You know, I couldn't mention it other than give him a hug. So the song has sat around for 10 years. And it's on my new record. Never say no, it's the title track. Thank you. scratch on my face. I remember kissing you for the first time. I can sense you just out of frame, and I'll be reminiscing for the rest of my life. Never loved anyone, I never loved anybody but you. Someone else up to help you out. I'd like to bring up my dear pal, John Notar Thomas. Where are you, John? Oh, he's gone home. Unbelievable. Here he comes. It's the John Notar Thomas, Syracuse, New York's finest. And I couldn't figure out how to get up here. So I've never done with my band. It's just, for some reason, it just doesn't feel right. It needs the gentle touch. I can't ask the band members to go away. I just go away myself. I just bring one along. It's called An Innocent Man. I'm trying to think of the chorus, I don't think. I've still got Never Say Never in my head. Wait a second.
Lately, and it'll be a long time. and dreamers in darkness, in silence, crave solitude.
Troublemaker, because I know how to cause trouble. I've calmed down a little bit in the last 50 or 60 years, but basically I'm a troublemaker, and this album, it did quite well actually. I almost did the top 100, which is as good as I've ever done. But Mercury Records, wonderful record company at the time, they signed me, and they really had faith in the album. They sent me around the country and did a lot of promotion, and as I say, it sold really quite well. The second album, I phoned up Mercury and they had left. Left town. I don't know what happened exactly. They left from Chicago, funnily enough, to LA, so of course I could see them regularly then when I found out their address. And then, as it turned out, the second album was released. Actually, it was more like dropped. It was thrown, or even it was ignored, and it went cardboard, and that was about it. You know? As I'm sure there's many of those stories from this town, but it's a bit of a shock to my system. But I got over it, and many years later, I did another album, and then another. And having lived in Austin, there's a lot of music encouraged to make records, and I love making records. I love writing, so I called up what was not anymore. It wasn't Mercury. It was. I don't even know what they call. Was it Universal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some schlumbos. I mean, they're not in the music business. I'm sorry. Record companies, except for the record company I'm with now, well, the two, one in England, one here, are really honest and lovely people. They've got no money at all. But record companies today are nothing but thieves. That's how they make their money. They sign people and then they drop them. Anyway, they're all accountants and lawyers, which is fine, but it used to be record companies were music lovers. And those days are long gone, except for the small, tiny little indies who don't have any control. Oh, and I'm with a really great company. The guy I mean, I shouldn't tell this story, but the advance I was supposed to get wasn't a huge sum. In March, when the album came out, I got a fifth of it in my bank account today. But he did pay, and he's honest, and he loves the record, and he got me on the Letterman show. He paid for promotion, which no other record company would have done. So, but I digress slightly. So I called up what was not Mercury Records anymore. It was some, I don't know, Universal or Seagram's, you know. The fact that they know about music. So I called up, I found a number in New York and called them from Austin. And I said, my name's Ian McLagan, and I'd like to speak to someone about releasing my albums on CD so I could make some money, so we could both make some money, you know. And she said, oh, I'll get back to you. Hold on, could you hold on? Yeah, I did. I drank some water like this. And she spoke to the accountant and said, oh, Mr. McLagan, it seems that you're unrecouped. Now, unrecouped is an interesting term. If they give you 100,000, which they did actually give me 200,000, 100 to make the record and 100 from my pocket, which went basically on crack. But anyway, I called it base cocaine then. It had more of a good sound, but it was it took just as much, made such just as much a hole in your pocket. Anyway, I digress. Recouped, unrecouped. See, they pay the money, and then they don't sell the records, and then you are unrecouped. In other words, you can't do anything anymore. That's the end of your career until you pay them back, or until they earn it back. But if they don't release the records, surely they're a record company. They make records and sell them. If they're not making them and selling them, then they're not a record company, which is pretty much true of most record companies today. She said, you're unrecouped to the tune of $250,000. I said, I can't hear you. No. Well, I have the tapes. I have the artwork. In fact, I have more artwork than was ever used, so I put both my CDs out, my records out on CD. I own them. I called the first one, instead of Trollmaker, because there's seven extra tracks. You see, I get value for money. I call it Here Comes Trouble, hoping that they would sue me, that they find out that within a day, and there'd be lawyers, you know, letters, and I could then make a story out of that and get some press and sell some records. No, they don't even fucking know I exist. The record's been out for like 3 or 4 years. Nobody, they don't even know or care. There's no one in there who listens to music. So, anyway. This is a track off that album, which now you can buy here. 17 tracks, value for money, $15. Well, that's under $1 a track. Cheaper than iTunes. Now there's another bunch of con men. Fucking hell. They're the record companies. They've actually got nothing to do with music at all. Computer makers. Well, that's started. I need a drink now. Do you have anything like Mexican beer over there? Yeah. No Guinness here. Oh. Oops. Do you want a beer?
Oh, a beer.
What would you like?
Guinness.
You have Jos Ekis over there at the bar?
Yeah, sure.
No? Do you have any Mexican beer? You have?
Yeah.
Couple of Jos Ekis. Two Jos Ekis. That'd be Cuatros. Something like that. Yeah. I've only lived in America 31 years, so I haven't picked up Spanish. Did we play that song?
Let's play.
Oh, this is a song called If It's All Right. It's a little love song. Very good health.
Cheers.
Lemon water doesn't really quench the thirst. Puts a film around your mouth, so you need a beer. Oh, it's a song, yeah. No, I suddenly had a flashback and I was at home thinking, what the fuck are you doing? The fuck out of my house. It's called If It's All Right. If It's All Right. I don't play too fast. I tend to start too fast. If it's all right. Since become friends with him, I've just said, ah, fuck it. The money's gone, he's got no money, and he's not an evil man. It's Andrew Oldham. He's not an evil guy. And we're now friends, you know, because what the fuck? I carry a grudge, like, yeah, I did for like 30 years, 40 years, whatever. I want to live now. So I don't care anymore. It's, the money's gone, he hasn't got it either. And I'm not going to get it that way. So we become friends. I was actually going to make friends with Don Arden, the first thief I was telling you about, but he died, so fuck him. And anyway, it's funny, Sharon Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne's wife is Don Arden's daughter, but I knew her when she was 13. And she was a harmless little girl, and she's a lovely person. When there was an interview, an article on Don Arden in Mojo magazine, when I read it, it was like a fluff piece for this thief, you know. So I called the manager, the editor, and I said, give me fair time and I'll paint the other story, you know. So he gave me the first letter in the letters page, and Sharon called me up and said, oh, you don't even know the half. She's talking about a father. Where was I? Have we played a song yet? No. See, I wrote a book so I didn't have to tell these stories to, you know, over and over again. It's available over here, yeah. With all the rage.
I see Nelson at the door. He's trying to help you.
We were just in Memphis last night, and my first chapter is called Green Onions because I heard Green Onions and I had to play the organ. I mean, I didn't play much of a piano or anything until then, but I had to play it. And we just went to the Stax Museum, which was an emotional, fabulous one.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, man. I had to touch the tape machines, just to touch them. Wow. They all touched them, I touched them. So, have you played the song yet? Oh, Ronnie Lane. me, that's called a tangent. Ronnie Lane is a dear friend, a very interesting man, a lovely, lovely man, and he wrote this song about his father. It was on one of the Faces albums. I think it's through La La, but it could be Not As Good As A Wink. Sure. I don't really know. I don't keep up with that stuff, details. But it's a beautiful song, I think, and I hope to do it justice. And I just want to explain that it's called Debris, or what you call debris. But it doesn't scan. You can't sing it as debris. So no American will ever record this. But debris relates to bomb sites, basically. And I was born in 45, just after the war, and a lot of London was bomb sites. But they were actually places you could play, because, you know, you'd find things, you know. Dead bodies. No. But I mean, you find like a bicycle seat, or, you know, you find
debris,
exactly, yeah. It was covered in old crap, and well, the houses had been bombed, and anyway, his dad, they didn't have any money, and his dad, the song is talking about his dad and how he would go searching through the debris for odds and ends, to something to sell, or something to use, and Ronnie would sit at the top of the stairs, wait for his dad to come home from work, and his dad was against the unions, and funny enough, I played this song with Billy Bragg several times. He loves the song, and he thinks, well, we disagree on this, but I figure I know best. He thinks it's a pro-union song, but it's actually not. It's a the unions, they don't fight, and they don't help you. Well, that's his opinion, my opinion. It's Ronnie Lane's opinion. I think I know what he was talking about. And I'm not talking about unions in general, because I'm a member of several unions. You've got to be. You've got to get money. And the AFM does very good for me. But he was talking about general workers' unions in London after the war. So, having said all that, I have more beer. I've used up my wetness. You know, we could do this and just get away with playing two songs a night. Nothing. Anyway, this is called Debris, as Ronnie used to say. Debris. You don't come in, do you, straight away? So I can do it any time. Yes.
It's all you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How'd I do with that Ronnie putt?
He did good. I told him Ronnie would play, he'd say it would be a tuba part. And he'd play and he'd do the like he's blown a tuba. It was a funny character, Ronnie. There's a brilliant documentary out called Passing Show, all about Ronnie Lane. You should definitely, a DVD that you should check out. It tells his whole story, some lovely interviews with people, including me, but Eric Clapton and Pete Townsend, and it's just his life. I mean, it'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh. He was a beautiful spirit. He had this Passing Show referred to, it's actually a pack of cigarettes from India. He brought back once, and he kept the title in his head, and he had a tour of England. He used circus tents. It was a great idea, except that some of the wagons, you know, like the circus wagons, were from 1912, and they kept breaking down. They could only do like 20 miles an hour. So, but he did say one good thing about it. It failed miserably. He lost a lot of money on it. But he said the one good thing, he said, if the sound was a little too bright, he said they would just hose the tent. Just dive it down. They EQ'd the whole building, you know. Only Ronnie Lane. Someone's going to do that one day and make it really work, you know. It ain't going to be me. So, many years ago, my first band, in 1964, we got the opportunity to work with Little Walter, Howlin' Wolf, Hubert Sutherland, and Sonny Boy Williamson. Bunch of shows. I mean, each show was like a Howlin' Wolf show, the Hubert Sutherland, did three of those, and we did two with Sonny Boy, and we did one with Little Walter. So this is a tribute to Little Walter, who finally got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with Madonna. I suppose dancing, is that it? Miming? Clothes. Clothing.
Birthday
number? I can't think of any other reason. And God bless her, and all who sailed in her. But most important, that Little Walter got in. This is one of his songs, it's called Temperature. Get that man a drink. So where am I? Oh, yeah. My baby gave me high temperature. My baby gave me high temperature. Kiss and dance. 102.4 nightroom bands. 103.4 and 105. It's just too warm to stay alive. My baby gave me high temperature. My baby gave me high temperature.
Thank you.
play a couple more, and then it's time to eat and drink, I think. Looking forward to a pint. Hmm? Oh, yeah, I'll go over there and meet and greet and tell you some more stories. It's off Never Say Never. Called I Will Follow. It's actually on Best of British as well, and in a different version. And we were doing a radio show in LA, in Austin, like 8 in the morning, and we were waiting for a commercial so that we could check this, the sound and the balance. And he said, okay, commercial, check it. And my drummer started playing a beat, and I was thinking Taj Mahal, like Leaving Trunk. Anyway, so I put one song to a different beat, and I went, hello, found something. This is what happened. So this is how he recorded it on Never Say Never. How's the start? Who am I? Where am I? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just like we do.
Yeah? Two. Three.
Well,
on that desolate plain. I have but one dream, we'll be together again. When the crying is over and my tears have run dry, I'll be an old man and ready to die. I'll see you in heaven. Oh, you'll know I'm in heaven until we meet again.
I'm trying to say, be careful, you know, an advice song. Well, who listens, you know? I didn't listen to my parents, and God bless her, she didn't. And I mean, she loves the song now, but the thing is, I sing it to her daughters, to my granddaughters, and hopefully they'll listen. But who cares? I mean, the thing is, it's love isn't what you. It's well, John Mann said it best. It's not who you love, it's who loves you. And so this is a love song to them. Doesn't matter if they don't take it. It's love. It's called Little Girl. And I've got to figure out how to get into it. I had a way, I was working at home and I figured a way to play this. Just bear with me. What are you going to do? Leave? Thank you.